This long passage from the Vishnu Purana started by saying that the cure for all miseries is the realization of the Supreme Lord. There's two means to realize the Supreme Lord, karma and jnana. Jnana is the primary means. Two kinds of jnana, knowledge. That which is realized from the scriptures and that which is realized by one's personal discrimination. The personality of Godhead is the Akshara, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Infallible Supreme. And so that inconceivable supreme is known by the term Bhagawan. Although he's beyond sound, beyond words, he is actually designated by the name Bhagawan. And if anybody else is called Bhagawan, that's just figurative. Now, actual analysis of the name. In the next verse. Sambharte ti tata bharta bhakardartor dvayanvita neta gamayita shrashta gakarartas tata muni. The syllable ba has two meanings, maintainer and supporter. And the syllable ga, O sage, means leader, procurer, and creator. Sridhar Swami comments, Ityatra aksharartha niruktya bhagavat shabdasya parameshvara vachakatvam aha sambart eti ityadina. Interpreting the meaning in terms of the individual senses of the syllables, it is stated that the word Bhagawan indicates the Supreme Lord in the verse beginning Sambharta. Now, this is not the primary way to interpret what a verse, what a statement means. We have learned grammar which shows us how to understand the meaning of a statement by grammatical analysis and by knowing what the words mean, by lexical analysis. It's not normal to look for meaning in the individual phonemes of the word. Usually the whole word, actually a whole word has meaning, not the, you don't add up the meanings of the letters to make the meaning of the word. That's not scientific, grammatical. But Yaska Muni, the original lexicographer, dictionary compiler, he's discussed his methodology, how he determines what the meanings of words are. And this is one of the methods on the list. It's a secondary method. When other methods fail to produce an understanding of what a word means, you may resort to analyzing the meaning of the syllables. And here it's being done. Of course, this cannot overrule what the dictionary tells us. That's the prime authority on the meaning of a word. But at least poetically, we can analyze words syllable by syllable, their meaning, And here we're doing it in the word Bhagavan. Sambarta poshaka. Barta adada. Well, ba is given two definitions, maintainer and supporter. Maintainer means nourisher, and supporter means foundation. Sambarta and Barta. You may not recognize a difference between the two words, but Sridhar Swami points out we can take the first to mean one who nourishes, and the other is one who serves as the foundation. It has these two meanings. Neta karma jnana pala prapaka. Netritvam prayojya gamana garbham iti gakarartaha. Leader, this is Neta. When Subhas Chandra Bose tried to follow the example of Hitler, he let himself be called Netaji, Der Führer, in Hindi. Neta, the maintainer, the leader. Leader means he who causes one to obtain the fruits of ritual work and cultivation of knowledge. Okay, he leads you to the results of your endeavors. The idea of leading has its origin in the concept of moving toward a destination. Okay, I'm an old lady and I need help getting across the street. So the Boy Scout leads me across the street, helps me get to my destination. That's leading. If a leader can't do that, cannot take you to a destination, then what's the sense of his being a leader? The word netra means eye, but it actually comes from the verb knee. To the eye is the sense that leads. It's the leading sense. And so this is the meaning of the syllable ga. Okay, ga, I mean, what does ga mean? Ga is the gum, the verb to go. So what does it have to do with leading? But leading means to make one, help one go to a destination. Not just go in circles or randomly, but to go somewhere in particular. That's being led. And gamayita is the second definition of the ga syllable. Gamayita pralaye karyanam karanam prati. Well, procurer. See, this is gamayita, is causative. One who makes something go. But we're translating it as procurer. Just like we send Raju out to buy the sabjis. He's procuring the sabjis. He goes out and gets it. Procurer during the time of annihilation of the created products for their causes. I'm sorry, that sentence doesn't make any sense. Something's missing in that sentence. Let me try to figure it out. He's the procurer. Let me just reinterpret the sentence. I guess he procures for the causes their results during the annihilation. Can someone help me with this? Gamayita pralaye karyanam karanam prati. No, karya is the cause, the products, the cause and the effects. The effects and the products. So in the, let me, you got it? You understand what it means? Oh, please, but take the microphone. But doesn't, oh, well, yeah, what's the prati?
Doers. So grid means because karya is products and pralaya means winding up. So the products are being wound back to their causes. The cause is what stays after the pralaya. So the manifestations are being...
Okay, in the annihilation, the effects go back into their causes. Yeah, he makes the products, the maker of the products going to the causes. It makes them go back into their causes. Okay, I don't see how the sentence I wrote says anything like that. Okay. That has to be rewritten. Yeah. Well, literally, he makes them go to their causes. Makes the products, the effects go back to the causes. Okay, anyway, we'll fix it. Shrashta. Neta Gamayata Shrashta, three meanings for Ga. We can say Gamayata comes from Ga. Ga is short for gum. Shrashta. Punar apitesham udgamayita sarga karteti va gakarata. So creator can be the third meaning, shrashta. Or udgamayita, one who makes them go up or arise, come into being, or come into manifestation. Understand the actual meaning of the verb srij with the noun srishti. We can translate it as creation, but it is not creation ex nihilo. The world is not created from nothing. It's created from the primeval elements that are eternal. Pradhan is eternal, and Pradhan is not created. What is happening is that the manifestation is produced out of, let's say, is manifest, is made to come become visible from the pradhana. So the word srij literally means what?
Exude.
Well, the cause to exude, to make something come out of something. Yes?
I'm just slightly lagging behind your explanation. I just wanted to again ask about...
Oh, but that's a question.
It's not a question. It's about what you have just explained, to clarify.
Yes.
Unless...
Yeah, go ahead.
It will be easier to explain tomorrow.
No, go ahead. I don't see that's not a question. But
Gamayita, you translate as procurer, and then in the translation which you have just
fixed. Yeah, procurer doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit here.
Yeah, so maybe forget procurer.
Maybe impeller. And especially because procurer in English means a person who procures, especially pander or
it's
pimp.
It's also procurer is also a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. It says a person who procures, especially pander or a pimp.
Oh. Okay, anyway, procurer is out.
Maybe an impeller.
Forget procurer.
Maybe impeller would fit better. Impeller?
Well, yeah, but impel means like I push something and make it move forward. But this is actually making something go in a particular place. So I think impel is not enough. Impel is just to get something going, but we wanted to describe making something reach a particular destination.
Well, then it will be probably ashram leader who makes everybody go to the temple room for classes.
Okay, so the temple commander. Okay. Anyway, no. We don't want to open up to a general discussion. Yes. Yes. Facilitator. Okay. That's up to date. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if the GBCs get anybody to do anything. Okay. I'll work on it. Okay. Creator, Shrishta, but actually, although we translate it as creator, it means the one who makes it come out. Well, that's the gloss. Creator means he who causes them to again arise. Punarapi tesham udgamayeta. Oh. Now this punarapi, I think I may have translated it wrong. It's not. I don't think it's to make them arise again, but we have two other meanings, and furthermore, there's this meaning. I think it's just furthermore. Although it is a repeated creation, I don't think that's what punarapi is saying. It would be tesham punara udgamayata. But I said it says punarapi tesham udgamayata. So punarapi is just joining the three clauses together. Neta means this, gamayata means this, and shrashta furthermore means this. Yeah.
This punarapi, I think it's the after gamayata, when he's saying that he's putting them back to their causes, and then punarapi, after having done that, then he reversing it, the action of reversing it, what he did during the time of pralaya, I think that is what is being told by punarapi. He puts them into their causes and again brings them out.
Well, then that is, again, that's what I translated as again, and causes them to again arise. So I guess that is, yeah. Even though it's connecting the verbs, but the verbs are together. It's a sequence. You're right. It first makes them go back in, the products go back into the causes, and then, you know, again the cycle starts and he makes them come out. Yeah, okay, that's what it is. Yeah. And that's how I translate it.
Yes.
Creator means he who causes them to again arise. Again rise. Sagarkarteti. Who affects their being sent forth into creation. So I translated Sargakarta, not just as creator, but to be more exact, the one who causes them to, who sends them forth into creation. Or the one who squeezes the toothpaste out of the tube. That's Srij. This alternatively is the meaning of the syllable ga. Third meaning. Okay, continuing. Atra Sri Swami Bir, Bahir Angantar Angayo, Bahir Antarangayo, Shakti Twena Beda Vivakshaya Vyakya Tom. Here, Sri Sridhar Swami has commented with the intention of expressing the non-difference of the external and internal energies in the sense of their both being energies. Sridhar Swami understands the difference between the two, the spiritual and the material energies. But sometimes, for the sake of explaining something, you can talk generically about energy in general without distinguishing. Not that you don't know the distinction, but you're just putting it aside for the context. Upanishads do that also. Upanishads very often don't distinguish among the energies of the Lord, and sometimes they don't distinguish between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. It does not mean that the intention of the Upanishads is to present that the Absolute Truth is impersonal, or that the Jiva is literally identical with the Paramatma. But there's use, especially to attract the attention of impersonalists, it's useful to talk in generic terms just about what spirit soul is. Satchidananda. That's a generic discussion, and it appeals, it interests those who don't want to see the distinction. Okay, you don't want to see the distinction between Jivatma and Paramatma. We won't talk about it yet. We'll just talk in basic terms. So here, Sridhar Swami is talking in basic terms about energy, not in this context distinguishing between material and spiritual energies. Because Bhagavan, what makes Bhagavan Bhagavan is not just his creating the material world. That's just his external activity. Bhagavan is what he is for what he does in the spiritual world. And Sri Swami is not talking about that. We could reinterpret the syllables in spiritual terms about his relationships with his spiritual energies and his devotees. I don't think that's done here. But he gives a hint in the next sentence, Jiva Goswami, how you could reinterpret the meanings of the syllables. Shuddha Swarupa Shakti Vivakshayam Tu Tadjnana Bhakti Pala Prapaka Katwadi Abhiprayen Artantaram Yojyam Iti. But when the intention is to describe the pure internal energy of the Lord, a different meaning should be presented with the idea of expressing that this energy is the cause of one's obtaining the fruits of knowledge and devotion. Sri Goswami said he causes people to attain the fruits of karma and jnana. That can include elevation to higher planets, and the fruit of jnana can be understood as liberation. But that also, that's the vidya potency of maya that helps you become self-realized and get back your proper understanding. But that, even that, is inferior to and only prerequisite to the actual function of the spiritual energy that engages you in the loving service of the Lord. So prapaka, or sambarta as, or rather neta as prapaka, could be understood as the internal energy of the Lord, which causes one to obtain the fruits of knowledge and devotion. Okay, we have finished this file. I'll open up the next file. We're not done with this Vishnu Purana yet. Idam akshara dvayatmakasya padasya artam aha. Bhagga, two syllables. Next, the meaning of the two-syllable word is described. That's the two-syllable word bhagga. Then we'll add vana. But this verse, very famous verse, is all about the meaning of bhaga. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashakshriyaha jnana vairagya yoschapi shannam bhaga itingana. These six, all-controlling power, prowess, fame, opulence, knowledge, and renunciation, are indicated by the word bhaga, assets. Assets. Ityatra, Sri Goswami says, ingane ranam, iranam, samgyeti ityartaha. So ingana may not be a well-known word. Ingate means you point to something or indicate something. Indication means designation. The Sanskrit gloss here is iranam, another not very common verb, irdatu. Designating. That means you use a word to designate, to name a thing. Or in other words, name. Okay. It means name, samgya. That's what ingana means. Bhaga is the name of these six assets. In full, those are bhagas. Sridhar Swami. Okay. I have to change the sentence here. Sridhar Swami makes that comment, and then And then he continues in his comment. Aishwaryasya Viryasya Mani Mantra Di Nam. Iva Prabhavasya Yashasho Vikyata Sadgunasya Shriya Sarva Prakara Sampate Gyanasya Sarva Gyatvasya Vairagyasya Yavat Prapanchika Vast Vana Sangasya Cha. What's up? Complete. Samagra. Yeah, not partial. He's got all of them. And Samagra, I'll read that sentence. Sridhar Swami has explained the verse as follows, and we should understand it in the same way. Oh, I see what happens here. A little bit of confusion about whether this second part is Sridhar Swami talking or just Jiva Goswami. I'll have to check. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but I have to get it straight. Okay, anyway. Somebody, either Sridhar Swami or Jiva Goswami himself, has explained the verse as follows. Of controlling power, Aishwaryasya. And also of prowess, viryasya. He doesn't gloss aishwarya. We're supposed to know what it means. Virya, mani mantra dinam eva pabhavasya. Of prowess means of influence like that of gems, mantras, and so on. It doesn't mean that he can lift, 1,000 kilos. It's not that kind of strength. This is his mystic power, his virya. Like the influence of gems, mantras, and so on, which is mystic energy, mystic power, inconceivable power. Yashasa means a fame, means possession of renowned qualities. Fame is not just measured by a popularity poll. He's got 48% favorability rating among the populace in the universe. No, it means that he's got qualities that if anybody has any sense, he would glorify him. He's got such wonderful qualities. That's what the basis of his being famous. Not just that he has a good publicity agent, but that he deserves the fame. He's got excellent qualities. Possession of renowned qualities. Shriyaha sarva prakara sampatti. Now, Shri, I'm translating here as opulence, and glosses all kinds of wealth, sampatti. Wealth, not just money, but all kinds of property. Jnana, of knowledge, means sarvagyatvasya, omniscience, not just being learned, but knowing everything there is to know, sarvagyatvasya. Knowing everything and knowing everything completely. So sarvagya sarvavid yasya gyanamayam tapaha. The Upanishad says two different sarvagya and sarvavid, and that's explained by the commentators. I think Rangla Manujacharya explains that it sounds redundant, sarvagya and sarvavid, but what it means is he knows everything and he knows all there is to know about every single thing. And vairagya, renunciation, detachment from everything material. Yavat prapanchika vastvana sangha, not detachment from his devotees or detachment from the welfare of all the living entities, but detachment from all material things. He's not a mayavadi. Not an impersonalist who renounces artificially. He renounces appropriately all the false material things. Where is which? Well, that's Shri, but we're taking Shri as Sarva Prakara Sampati, not as beauty here. No, Aishwarya is power to control. It's the state, is the condition of being an Ishvara. What is it? Ishvara means controller, not possessor. It means controller. So Aishwarya really means controlling, ability to control. Of course, they're equivalent. If you've got a lot of money, you can control. If you have a lot of assets, you can control. But the ideas are different. So Shri is possessing the assets, and Aishwarya is being able to control. Prabhupada takes the liberty of, you know, translating Aishwarya's opulence, because it also means that. We worship Narayan for his Aishwarya. Those who are attracted to the Aishwarya of the Lord, they worship Narayan. That means his opulent feature, but it also means he's the big controller. That's what it literally means. Now, samagras yeti sarvatranvitamiti. The word complete, samagra, is logically connected with each of these terms. It's not just all the Aishwarya and only some of the other ones, but all of them are samagra. The word samagra is only said once, but it's understood to go with all the assets. Could you check? I think Gormohan needs some help out there. He's beeping his horn. I think that's Gormohan. Outside the door there. Sorry. Okay. Vakarartam. Okay, that's only one, that's only the two syllables bugga. What about the van? Actually, bhagavavan. The previous verses analyzed three syllables. Bhagava. And that didn't even consider the van suffix. The word originally is bhagavavan. And then the va in between gets deleted. There's a rule about it. Okay, so there's bhaga and there's also va. The possessor of bhaga and va. So what does the va mean? Vakar artam aha. Yeah, because the verses that we read so far only explain ba and ga. Then what about va? Bakar artam aha. Vasanti tatra bhutani bhutatmanyakilatmani sarvabhuteshvasheshu vakar artas tato vyayaha. The meaning of the syllable va is stated in 6.5.75 of the Vishnu Purana. All created beings reside in him who is the soul of the elements of creation and of everything. He also resides in all created beings. This is the meaning of the syllable va, which implies that he is exhaustible. This is what va means, and therefore he is avyaya, tato avyaya. That avyaya and akshara are similar ideas. Akshara, kshar, means to decay. What doesn't decay? Avyaya, vyaya, means depletion or using something up. In astrology, the 10th house is the house of labha, of acquisition. And the opposite is ruled by the 11th house, the house of vyaya, or depletion. When you get money and then you use it, and the money, your stock of money or of anything else is depleted by using it. So you can look in the 10th house to see how you'll obtain things, and the 11th house will show how you use them up. So he's avyaya. He's akshara. The absolute truth is akshara. He doesn't ever decay. And also, his assets are never used up. Never depleted. Avyaya. Well, that's expressed by the syllable va. Vasanti tatra bhutani. He's the soul of the elements of creation and of everything. He also resides in all created beings. Ityatra, Sridhar Swami says, tatra adishtana bhute bhutani vasanti. In him who serves as the foundation, all the created beings reside. Sacha bhuteshu vasati iti vakar arta. This is also, you can understand, is the meaning of the word vasu in Vasudeva. He resides in all beings, that means the elements and the living beings, and they all reside in him. Well, no, I'm talking about vasu here. I'm saying that vasu elsewhere is defined in the same way. But this is va, the syllable va. Okay, the next verse, good. And therefore he's avyaya. He's undepletable. Well, okay. He doesn't have to worry about his wallet getting empty as he spends his money, because he has unlimited line of credit. All the money in the existence belongs to him, and if there isn't enough, he can make more, because all the elements reside in him. Okay, and now we talk about the word Vasudev, which is related. Evam esha maha shabdo bhagavan iti sabdama. Oh, this doesn't talk about the meaning of Vasudev, it just mentions the name. Evam esha maha shabdo bhagavan iti sattama parama brahma bhutasya vasudevasya nanyagaha. Okay, thus, this is his ultimate designation, Bhagawan, O purest of the pure. It is the name of him who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Vasudeva, and of no one else. Okay, if you're, after hearing the explanation of what Bhagawan means, if you're still confused about who this Bhagawan is, Vishnu Purana is stating unequivocally, it's Lord Vasudev, nobody else. Mahashabda, I translate it as ultimate designation. We can just mean it to mean the big word that's made out of these small parts. You have Bhagava and then Van. Put it all together, you get the complete word, Bhagavan. But it's also the supreme designation of the Absolute Truth. This is commented on. Ityatra evam esha mahashabdo vasudevasya vachaka na twanyasya etyartaha. Shiraswami is adding the word vachaka. The verse just says it belongs to Vasudev. But what is the shashti connected with? Vasudevasya. So Shiraswami adds the implied word vachaka. It's the designator, that which names Vasudev, the word Bhagavan. Akshara nirukti pakshe bas chagas chavas cheti dvandvas tatascha bhagava iti nama rupani vidyante yasya sa bhagavan. Pishodaratvat valopaha. Well, in the case of analyzing the meaning in terms of the individual syllables, which we were doing in the previous verses, going back to that syllable-by-syllable analysis, there is a coordinate compound. That's just dvandva, coordinate compound, because the parts have equal importance. Radha and Krishna. That's a fancy way of saying dvandva samasa, coordinate compound, composed of ba, ga, and va. So he's ba, he's ga, and he's va. And we've talked about what each of those three mean. And that gives you the word bhagava. Well, that form actually exists in declined forms. You'll see it in the Vedas. The form bhagava, some places. I think I even gave examples elsewhere. And from this word is formed bhagavan, in which the syllable va has been deleted. It's not bhagavavan. Although you do see bhagava, but with the van, the va before it disappears. And there's a reason, a grammatical rule for that, because it belongs to the group prishodharati. That's a gana, ganapat. There's a list of words beginning with prishodhara. And what happens with those words? I don't remember. I think it's just that they form irregular samasas. I think that's it, that this list of words all are irregular samasas, and you just have to accept them as they are on the list. You know, they're specified just by being on the list, what their irregular forms are. Bhagavan must be on the list. You know, so why does va get deleted? Because it's given to you as nipata, I think. I don't think there's a rule of what reason the va gets disappeared. It disappears because it shows up on the official list as Bhagavan, on the Prishodharati list of irregular samasas. Well, Bhagava, that form, does occur in the Vedas, but you won't see it in classical Sanskrit. Or you may. You may rarely. Someone's talking archaic Sanskrit and speaks to some sage, you may call him Bhagava. Tatra dat veka deshe pyarta shaktir api akshara samya nibruyan. Iti niruktat. Here's where the nirukta, Yaskamuni, gives his opinion that we can resort to akshara samya. That means analyzing a word syllable by syllable, what each syllable means. Why? Because dat vekshara pyarta shaktir. There is semantic potency even in the partial components of a verbal root. We see that sometimes. That roots, you have roots on the dhatupata, but you could explain how that root's related to another simpler root. And they're parts that you can recognize. They each have different elements of meaning. Prefix has a meaning and then something's added to it, even though it's listed as a separate root. So sometimes you can reliably analyze the partial components of a verbal root. And then you add various pratyayas to the root to make nouns and other words. But you start with the root. But even the root sometimes can be broken down into components that each have a separate meaning. Sometimes. And he said, because that does happen, Yaskamuni, akshara samya nibruyad. Therefore, one may make an interpretation by identifying the syllables. So he's not saying it's always valid, but you can sometimes justify it. He's the authority on understanding the meaning of words. He wrote the original book, the Nirukta. Yaskamuni. Yaskamuni also gives the opinion, Yaska, longa. He also elsewhere says that the Unadi Sutras are not always reliable. You've studied anything about Unadi Sutras? Supplementary derivation of nouns that can't be explained in any ordinary way as coming from verbs by the regular grammar rules. So Unadi Sutra makes up some extra rules to let you derive more nouns from verbs. But sometimes it's really far-fetched, very artificial, and even Yaskamuni, who is liberal enough to let us analyze words syllable by syllable, the meaning of the individual syllables, he is doubtful whether the Unadi Sutras are always reliable. Okay. That means they may be useful to get some insight, but they're not literally correct always in the way they present the derivation of words. Okay. Tadevam parameshvare niratishaya aishvaryadi yukte mukyo yam shabdaha. Thus this word refers primarily to the Supreme Lord, who is endowed with unexcelled controlling power, and so on. The word Bhagavan. Anyatra tu gauna ityatra artaha. So the principal meaning of Bhagavan is in reference to Parameshvara. In reference to anybody else, it's figurative, secondary. The word used in reference to other persons is secondary usage. That means Lakshanavritti. Gaunavritti is a subcategory of Lakshanavritti. Lakshana is established by some connection between the literal meaning and the figurative meaning. There's a connection between the shore of the Ganga and the actual Ganga. The shore is adjacent to, next to the river. That's the connection, a connection of adjacency. But when the connection is just similarity, that's called Gaunavritti. It's actually a weaker kind of metaphor based on similarity. So-and-so Rishi isn't God. It's no way he's God. But he's got some similar qualities, some godly qualities. So he's called Bhagavan only on the basis of guna, of similar quality. So it's called a Gaunavritti. Okay, so the Vishnu Purana says, Tatra puja padartokti paribhasha samanvitaha shabdoyam no pacharena twanyatra yupacharataha. Okay. The previous verse seemed to say that the word Bhagavan is used figuratively to describe the absolute truth when one's worshipping. As the Mayavadis would, you know, are pleased to hear that, they take it to mean the absolute truth actually is inconceivable, but when you want to do some worship and you want something to conceive, then you use the idea of Bhagavan, but it's only figurative. That's denied right here in the further later statement of the same person speaking in the Vishnu Purana, and he says, no, not upacharena. Let me read the translation of that sentence. When in reference to him, the Supreme Lord, this word is involved in indicating the idea of worthy, the idea of the object worthy of worship, it is not figurative. The Supreme Lord is not figuratively the proper object of worship. He's absolutely and always the proper object of worship. So calling him Bhagavan is not figurative, it's literal. Anyatra tu upacharitaha. When referring to someone else, it is used figuratively. That's the actual opinion. You may misinterpret the previous statement, but this statement makes it clear. It's literal. Bhagavan, the term Bhagavan is literal, referring to the Supreme Lord. It's figurative, referring to anybody else. Sri Goswami explains. Ityatra pujyasya shreshta padartha syoktau ya paribhasha. The word paribhasha is in this verse. What's a paribhasha? Rule of interpretation, a meta rule. A rule that tells you how to understand the other rules. Okay. Sri Goswami comments. When this word incorporates the verbal indication, the conventional expression, which occurs in speaking about the worshipable supreme object. Ah, boy. I don't know if that's clear. Verbal indication, conventional expression. That's how I translate paribhasha. Well, nice try. I think I have to fix that up. Which incurs in speaking about the worshipable supreme object, then the word is not being used figuratively in reference to the personality of Godhead. Let's see what that actually says. Paribhasha samanvitaha. Puja padartokti paribhasha samanvitaha. when it's conjoined with the paribhasha rule about speaking about the object of worship. Well, suppose somewhere in the grammar it said Bhagawan means object of worship. That's the paribhasha rule, interpretive rule, how to understand the suffix. So when that idea is applied, the idea of worship is applied, it's not when, it always refers to the object of worship. But that idea of object of worship refers directly to, literally to Vishnu, and figuratively to anybody else. So, the word always indicates object of worship. But sometimes it's used in reference to him, and sometimes talk about somebody else being worshipped. Okay. In reference to others like demigods, it is used figuratively. Anyatra deva dao upacharena vartate, Bhagavan Indra, or so on. Bhagavan being used in reference to demigods, or somebody else, a sage or a saint, then that's upacharena, that's figurative only. But it's not figurative in reference to the Supreme Lord. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll discuss further what it means for the word Bhagawan to be used figuratively in reference to somebody else. When do you do that? Can you call anybody Bhagawan? Or are there certain conditions under which someone can be called Bhagawan? That's discussed in the next section. We'll get to that tomorrow. Okay, that's it. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.